This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either way if you would like to leave prayer requests or if you have comments on the program. Again, this program can be re-listened to on the website, and there's a weekly meditation there that you might find helpful, as well as some tracks and some testimonies and some questions and answers. So if you'd like those addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down in a little bit. Now, today we're going to continue our journey through Genesis. And of course, we've been studying this man by the name of Jacob. Today we're going to read from Genesis chapter 34. Last time we left him in the land of Shechem, at the city, probably near the city of Shechem, and he had built an altar there, and we had noted that while he had promised God that he would go back to Bethel, the place where he had experienced God's presence through that ladder that reached to heaven before his journey up into Syria, and he promised God he would go back there, yet because of his fear of Esau, and because Jacob was still doing things his way, it appears that he ended up in this area in Shechem, and we'll see that it cost him greatly to go there. Genesis chapter 34 and verse 1 says, "Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. His soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, 'Get this young woman as a wife.' And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his livestock in the field, so Jacob held his peace until they came. Then Hamor, the son of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. And the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved and very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, 'The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife, and make marriages with us, and give your daughters to us, and take our daughters to yourselves.'" And if you read down through the rest of the passage, you'll find out that they lied to the men of Shechem. They said, "We'll do that if you'll get circumcised." And so the people in Shechem, wanting to be honorable and wanting to trade and with Jacob and his descendants and wanting to be able to intermarry with Jacob and his descendants, they got circumcised. And while the men were sore, the sons of Jacob rose up and slew the men of Shechem for what they had done to Dinah. They were dishonest in what they had done. They had learned that dishonesty from their own father. And they ended up causing Jacob to stink in the eyes of the people of Shechem. And they had to leave that area. And of course, it forced them to go back to where they belong, to this place called Bethel. Now, when we look at this passage, there's a lot of lessons here for us today. We can see that Jacob had once again deceived Esau and had ended up in Shechem and not in Bethel, and he was in the wrong place. And the people of Shechem apparently were good and honest people, but they were uncircumcised. That is, they did not worship the God of Israel. Circumcision was, in a sense, to the Israelite what baptism by immersion is to the Christian. And I have noted over the years that many people will allow their children to come to our children's meetings. They will even allow their children to come and take what they call communion or break bread with us, even though I personally don't think that should happen until a person is of age and should and can, in fact, show that they're a Christian by baptism. But even though it's allowed where parents control whether the child can be baptized or not in many cases. When the child asks to be baptized, that's when parents get upset. That's like changing religions to many of them. That's like turning their back on the things they've been taught by their families and by their churches. And so a scriptural baptism after the new birth is often sort of a dividing line with regard to whether or not we can get along well with the people whose children we're working with. And as we look at that, it seems like circumcision was like that in the Old Testament. We know that there were other groups besides Israel that did circumcise, but basically the people in the land and the Philistines were uncircumcised people, and it represented the fact that they did not worship the living God of heaven. Circumcision, we know, is a spiritual picture of the cutting off of the flesh, dying to self and living to Christ. But while they might not have known that, God used circumcision to identify his people. It was interesting that circumcision would not be seen publicly, but yet people would know privately whether or not people were circumcised. And as far as the people of the land were concerned, it was a reproach. So when Jacob and his daughter decide that they cannot marry or intermarry with the uncircumcised, we find out that the people of the land were more honorable, really, than Jacob and his children. They were willing to get circumcised in order to have free and unhindered fellowship and business dealings and in marriages with Jacob and his descendants. It doesn't mean that because they went through the formal ceremony that they really believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they were willing to do that. And when I look at this story in Genesis 34, I'm grieved because I see in our own day the same kind of thing taking place. I see people who make no profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who in business dealings and in their relationships with others, trying to live out what they call the golden rule, doing unto others what you would have others do unto you, they are often more honorable than Christians are. Now, when I say they're more honorable than Christians are, I'm saying they're more honorable than people who profess to be Christians, because I can't look at hearts to see if people have really trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But often they're more honorable in their dealings than some of us are, and that's a shame, and that seems to be the case here. Jacob was a deceiver. He had taught his children to be deceivers, and it went back, as we've noted, to Abraham, who actually taught Isaac to be a deceiver, and Isaac taught Jacob to be a deceiver when they lied about their wives. And so Jacob had come by this tradition honestly. We look at the Ten Commandments, and it says that the sins of the fathers are visited unto the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. God shows mercy unto thousands of them that love me and guard my truth or keep my commandments. And it appears that what the fathers do, they teach their children to do. And if you follow this progression with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, every lie and every liar became worse. And Jacob was a deceiver. And even though he had met God now and had wrestled with him and his name had been changed, that doesn't mean that he didn't have problems with the flesh and with the character that he had been had so ingrained in him from his youth. And so as I look at this, it looks to me like the uncircumcised people who represent unbelievers were more honorable than the circumcised people who represent believers. We know that what was happening was that if Dinah had married this man, she would have violated what is considered a New Testament principle that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And so in their case, they hadn't been given that command in that way, but that was what the Lord wanted. He wanted those who believed in him to live different and holy lives. And in the Old Testament, it wasn't just a spiritual separation. There was generally a physical separation associated with it. But we find Jacob had not gone back to Bethel. He went to Shechem. And because he lived near the unbelievers, Dinah went out into the land to find friends. And we're all concerned about our children and the friends that they find. And we need to be careful about the friends that they find. We know that the scriptures tell us to suffer the little children to come unto me, that is unto the Lord, for of such is the kingdom of God. And one way we do that is by being careful with their association so they're not led away from the Lord. And so Dinah went out and she wanted to find friends in the land. Much like Lot when he pitched his tent near Sodom. As a result of doing that, his children were influenced by the immorality and unbelief of Sodom. And when judgment came, he lost his family. And so we need to be careful as to what we expose our children to, because when Dinah went out looking for friends amongst the daughters of the people in that land, she didn't just find friends, she found a man who was taken with her and wanted her to be his wife. Now, he violated her. And when you read this, it's easy to think that he raped her, but there's nothing said that she was an unwilling participant in this. So we have to leave that alone. I do not believe that we can say that she was an unwilling participant when the Bible does not say that, even though the fact that Hamor violated her means that Hamor should have, as a man, had the ability to restrain himself from doing that which was wrong and taking a young lady who had not become his wife and violating her was wrong. It was wrong from the beginning of time. And it's been codified in the law that the Israelites have. And we know that today it's wrong, but we are violating that principle all the time and thinking that it makes no difference. So she had gone to find a friend. She had found Hamor. Hamor violates her. And now Hamor wants to make this right by making her his wife. And his father tries to make it right as well. But this is not made right. It becomes a problem to Jacob when Jacob's children start a war because of what was done to their daughter. We need to understand that we're saved by grace through faith. But we who are saved have responsibilities. And when we violate those principles and responsibilities, it causes us great harm and great difficulty. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. We pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We just trust that those who are listening will have whatever needs are present in their lives today met as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.